Al Bayan Radio presents the following program, asking Allah that it serves as a benefit for all.
Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Amma ba'd, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Ayyuhal ikhwatul mustami'un, ma zilna ma'akum fi sardi ahdasi qissati Ka'b ibn Malik, fi takhallufihi an ghazwati Tabuk. قال كعب رضي الله تعالى عنه فتفقت أغدو لكي أتجهز معهم فأرجع ولم أقضي شيئا فأقول في نفسي أنا قادر عليه فلم يزل يتمادى بي حتى اشتد بالناس الجد فأصبح رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم والمسلمون معه ولم أقضي من جهازي شيئا فقلت أتجهز بعده بيوم أو يومين ثم ألحقهم فغدوت بعد أن فصلوا لأتجهز فرجعت ولم أقضي شيئا ثم غدوت ثم رجعت ولم أقضي شيئا فلم يزل بي حتى أسرع وتفارط الغزو وهممت أن أرتحل فأدركهم وليتني فعلت فلم يقدر لي ذلك. نستفيد من هذا الكلام أن القدرات والإمكانات ليست وحدها مؤدية إلى قيام الأعمال الكبيرة ما لم تصحبها همم عالية، فإمكانات كعب أكثر من إمكانات كثير من الصحابة، ومع ذلك لم يخرج مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، بل سوف الخروج حتى تفارت الجيش. فالأعمال الكبيرة تعتمد على الهمم أكثر من اعتمادها على الإمكانات، بل إن الهمم توجد الإمكانات. إذن المعول أيها الناس على همة الشخص، على همة الشخص. إذا كان صاحب همة عالية وذا هدف سام سعى بكل ما أوتي من إمكانات، بل سعى لتحصيل كل الإمكانات التي تساعده على بلوغ هدفه. فكن يا أخي صاحب همة عالية، فأصحاب الهمم العالية ينجزون كثيرا من الأعمال. أيضا مما نستفيده من القصة أن التسويف والتأجيل سبب في الانقطاع عن تحقيق فرص المسابقة. كعب قال أتجهز بعده بيوم أو يومين ثم ألحقهم فغدوت بعد أن فصلوا لأتجهز فرجعت ولم أقضي شيئا ثم غدوت ثم رجعت ولم أقضي شيئا فلم يزل بي حتى أسرع وتفارط الغزو وهممت أن أرتحل فأدركهم. قال الحسن البصري أحذركم سوف، أحذركم سوف. سوف هي حقيقة مطية الشيطان يركبها يوسوس للناس بها حتى يثبطهم عن كثير من الأعمال. التسويف يجعلك دائما في الأزمات لأنك تؤخر الأمر حتى تشتد الحاجة إليه، فتضطر إلى عمله بأي أسلوب كان. وأسوأ حالا من ذلك من يؤدي به التسويف إلى ترك العمل بالكلية أو فوات وقته. كثير من الناس اليوم يهمل واجباته ولا يعطيها حقها، فلا يهتم مثلا بخطبة الجمعة إلا يومها، ولا بالبحوث العلمية إلا وقت تسليمها، ولا بالدروس إلا في يوم إلقائها، ولا بتربية الأولاد إلا عند المعاناة من مشكلاتهم. إذن احذروا التسويف، وليكن مبدأ الواحد منا المسابقة، المسابقة والإعداد لما يصبو إليه من أعمال، ولا يترك ذلك إلى آخر لحظة إلى آخر لحظة من أوقاته. هذا سيؤدي إلى إهمال كثير من الأمور. إذن نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يجعلنا من السباقين إلى الخيرات، إلى السباقين إلى العمل الصالح.
All praise due to Allah. May Allah send His peace and blessings upon His final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We continue with the story of Ka'b ibn Malik and how he lagged behind in the battle of Tabuk. Ka'b says that every day I would go out intending to prepare myself, but I would come back home having not achieved anything. And I would say to myself, I'm still able to prepare. I have everything I need. But he would continue to delay until people really started to prepare vigorously for departure in this expedition. And the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Muslims prepared and completed their preparations, and Ka'ab said, I still had not prepared anything. And so I said to myself, I can even prepare, you know, a day or even 2 days after they leave, and I will follow them. I will be able to catch up with them. And the next day after they departed, I went out to prepare myself, and again, I did not achieve anything. Then again, I went out the next morning, and as well, I returned without achieving anything. And I continued like that until they actually had reached the place of their battle and they were returning. And even he said, he received news that they were returning. He said, I will go and travel and I will catch up to them. And then he said, and I wish that I did that, but Allah did not will for me to do so. There are many lessons from this part of his story, and that first of all, it teaches us that having the ability or having the means and the access to means, to wealth, to possessions, is not enough by itself to be able to do great deeds. If it is not accompanied by true intention and endeavor. Because Ka'ab radiallahu anhu had all of the means, and he actually had means more than many of the Sahaba. But in spite of that, he did not go out with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he delayed his departure until the army actually started to come back. And this shows us that great deeds, if they are to be achieved, that they depend on having a concerted intention and a strong will more than relying and depending on means. Because with your concerted intention and strong will, you will be able to find the means. And this shows us, my dear brothers and sisters, that it is very important to have high aspirations and strong efforts and to work hard to achieve those great goals, so that you will be able to achieve great things. And that when you have a great goal, you'll be able to seek the means to achieve that goal. So it is very, very important to have a strong will and concerted efforts and a strong drive and endeavor to do deeds. And without it, even if you have all of the means at your fingertips, you will not be able to achieve anything. Another point that we learn is that delaying and saying and procrastinating and saying I will and you know after this and after that is a reason for losing out on opportunities. Because as Ka'ab he said, even after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had fully prepared and they actually departed from the battle, he said, I will prepare even the day after or 2 days after, and I'll still be able to catch up with them. And so he went out actually the next day after they had departed, and he went to prepare, and still he did not prepare anything. He just got preoccupied and lazy and procrastinated. And then even the day after that as well, he went out to prepare, and again, he did not achieve anything. And he continued like that until there was news that the army was actually preparing to return. And then he even intended to go and to catch up with them at any stage of their expedition, and he didn't do so. Al-Hasan al-Basri, he said that I warn you of saying, I will, I shall do, I shall, sawfa in Arabic. Because so many times the shaitan, he stops us from doing good deeds. He deprives us the opportunity of doing good deeds by saying, I will, I will, I will. And so we don't actually do those deeds. So delaying always puts you in trouble. Because you delay an action or you delay an issue until you are in desperate need of it. And so it becomes necessary for you to do that action in any way possible. And so a lot of the time you won't do it you won't do it well. And some people are so bad at procrastinating and delaying that their procrastination and delaying leads them to leaving the action altogether or to do it out of time. An example of that is how many people are heedless in their obligations and do not give it its full right. For example, he doesn't worry too much about preparing for the Friday sermon except on the day of Friday. Or he doesn't prepare for his research assignments unless up to the day when it's due or the night when it's due. Or he doesn't prepare for his lessons except on the day that he is meant to deliver those lessons. Or he doesn't put attention to disciplining and raising and nurturing his children only after he starts to find problems with his children.
من فوائد هذه القصة أن نعلم أنه كان عند كعب رضي الله عنه من العلم والمعرفة والرغبة ما حمله على الهم بالجهاز. يعني كعب رضي الله عنه نوى وهم أن يتجهز وأن يكون مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ومع المسلمين. لكن يعني لو تكاملت إرادته لتمكن من اللحوق بالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قبل أن يرجع، ولكن قدر الله فوق ذلك، وكان في ذلك من الخير العظيم والدروس الكبيرة التي استفادتها الأمة الشيء الكثير. يعني نحن نتعلم كثيرا من الفوائد من قصة كعب بن مالك، ونحن ذكرنا بعض هذه الفوائد، وسنبقى إن شاء الله في حلقات ونستنبط هذه الفوائد المستفادة من قصة كعب بن مالك رضي الله تعالى عنه. إذن كعب رضي الله عنه وأرضاه هم أن يلحق بالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، لكن في النهاية قدر الله سبحانه وتعالى له أن لا يلحق بالنبي. العمل السليم يمر بالمعرفة ثم الإرادة ثم العزيمة، فإذا لم تقوى العزيمة تعطلت الإرادة وهكذا، فمتى تكاملت هذه العناصر تحقق الهدف بعد توفيق الله. في هذا الكلام هي حقيقة إشارة إلى أهمية العزيمة، إلى أهمية العزيمة عند الإنسان. لنضرب لذلك مثلا، كثير من الناس يعلم أن الصلاة فريضة من الله سبحانه وتعالى. كل مسلم يعلم أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أيضا حض الأمة على الصلاة وحذر من إهمالها، ويعلم أن النبي والصحابة ومن تبعهم حافظوا على الصلاة، إذن هو يعلم ذلك. ولكن ما الذي يحول بين كثير من الناس وبين إقامة الصلاة؟ هي حقيقة العزيمة، العزيمة. كثير من الناس يفتقرون إلى العزيمة الصادقة. إذن المعرفة والعلم لا يكفي في تحقيق العمل، لابد من إرادة جازمة وعزيمة قوية على ذلك. فالعزيمة العزيمة يا عباد الله. لذلك يقول ابن القيم رحمة الله عليه: إن الرجل إذا حضرت له فرصة القربة والطاعة فالحزم كل الحزم في انتهازها والمبادرة إليها، ويعني والعجز هو يكون في تأخيرها والتسويف بها، لا سيما إذا لم يثق بقدرته وتمكنه من أسباب تحصيلها. فإن العزائم والهمم سريعة الانتقاد قلما تثبت. يعني أنت لست على قوة في العزيمة طول الوقت، قد تمر بك أوقات وأنت ترى نفسك صاحب عزيمة قوية، فإذا ما رأيت ذلك ورأيت الفرصة سانحة فانتهز تلك الفرصة، لأن هذه العزيمة قلما تثبت كما يقول ابن القيم، قلما تثبت. والله سبحانه يعاقب من فتح له بابا من الخير فلم ينتهزه بأن يحول بين قلبه وإرادته فلا يمكنه بعد من إرادته، عقوبة له. فمن لم يستجب لله ورسوله إذا دعاه حال بينه وبين قلبه وإرادته فلا يمكنه الاستجابة بعد ذلك. قال الله سبحانه وتعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا استجيبوا لله وللرسول إذا دعاكم لما يحييكم واعلموا أن الله يحول بين المرء وقلبه. إذن يعاقب الله الإنسان إذا أتته الفرص وهو يضيعها، يعني الواحدة تلو الأخرى، بعد ذلك يعاقبه الله بأن يحول بينه وبين قلبه. وقد بيّن الله سبحانه هذا في قوله: ونقلب أفئدتهم وأبصارهم كما لم يؤمنوا به أول مرة. يعني الله عز وجل يتكلم عن أقوام جاءهم الرسول بالبينات وبيّن لهم الحق، وهم كانوا على معرفة بأن ما جاءهم به حق، لكنهم فوتوا هذه الفرصة، فوتوها، لم يسارعوا إلى الإيمان بالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وبما جاء به من الآيات، فعاقبهم الله عز وجل بأن صرف يعني أفئدتهم وأبصارهم عن الحق في بعد ذلك، عقوبة لهم، لأنهم إذا عرفوا الحق في أول مرة ثم لم يبالوا ولم يتبعوا فيعاقبهم الله عز وجل بأن يصرفهم عن الحق في المرات التالية. وقال الله تعالى: فلما زاغوا أزاغ الله قلوبهم. وقال الله تعالى: وما كان الله ليضل قوما بعد إذ هداهم حتى يبين لهم ما يتقون. وهو كثير في القرآن. فنحن نصيحتنا وخصوصا للشباب، الشباب الذي تأتيهم الفرصة بعد الفرصة، سواء في المجال الشرعي في المسائل الدينية أو حتى في المسائل الدنيوية، تأتي الشاب الفرصة لأن يتعلم، لأن يترقى، لأن يكون صاحب مثلا مشروع، صاحب، ثم يعني بعد ذلك يتوانى ويتكاسل، فنقول ربما لا تأتيك الفرصة مرة أخرى. لا يعني أيضا مما نستفيد من هذه القصة أنه يعني لا أحد يعرف ما قدر الله له، فلا يجوز ترك العمل احتجاجا بالقدر، وهذه بضاعة المفلسين كما ذكر الله سبحانه وتعالى عنهم، أنه وقال الذين أشركوا لو شاء الله ما أشركنا ولا آباؤنا ولا حرمنا من شيء كذلك كذب الذين من قبلهم. يعني المفلسون يحتجون بالقدر ويقولون لو شاء الله ما أشركنا، فالله عز وجل كذبهم قال كذلك كذب الذين من قبلهم، لأن الإنسان لم يطلعه الله على القدر حتى يعرف إذا كان الله كتب عليه أن يشرك أو لا يشرك، فكيف يحتج بشيء هو لا يعرفه أصلا، هو لا يعرفه أصلا. يعني لا يجوز لك أن تحتج بالقدر في ترك العمل. يعني إنسان يقول إذا كان لا يصلي يكون يقول لو كتب الله لي الصلاة لصليت، هو ما يدري هل اطلع على الكتاب على اللوح المحفوظ ورأى أن الله كتب عليه أنه ليس من المصلين، هو لا يعرف، هو حقيقة يكذب. فأما بعد فوات الأمر وانقضائه وعدم القدرة على تداركه فللمرء أن يعبر بأنه لم يقدر له. يعني إنسان فاته أمر محبوب، فاته يعني يريد شراء بيت ثم لم يستطع شراء هذا البيت، يعني يصح أن يقول لم يقدر لي شراء هذا البيت. هنا يعني جميل أن يرضى بقضاء الله عز وجل، لكن هذا بعد فوات الأمر، بعد انقضائه وعدم الاستطاعة على تداركه. فكعب رضي الله عنه يعني قال ولكن يعني قدر الله يعني أن لا ألحق بهم، هذا بعد ما فاته اللحاق بالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. كذلك لا يجوز احتجاج الإنسان بالقدر على ذنوبه ومعاصيه وتقاعسه عن الخير والعمل الصالح. فالحذر الحذر أيها الإخوة من الاحتجاج بالقدر على ترك الطاعات، على ترك الواجبات أو على اقتراف الذنوب والمعاصي، فهذا من عمل المشركين. أما المؤمن فلا يحتج بالقدر على شيء فرضه الله عليه. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.
The next point that we learn from the story of Ka'ab is that even though Ka'ab radiallahu anhu had knowledge and understanding and even had a desire that carried him to prepare and want to prepare for the battle, but his desire was not fulfilled. So he didn't have a strong enough sort of desire and willpower to actually end up joining with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam before he had returned. So if his willpower had actually been sort of fulfilled and perfected, and his will was perfected, he would have joined with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam before he returned. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had ordained otherwise, and in that was great goodness and many lessons that we learn and we benefit, and the Muslim nation benefits from this story. And so may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with Ka'ab and please him. And this teaches us that a correct action is not fulfilled just with knowing, but it has to have an intention and it has to have a drive and a willpower to do it. And so if you don't have that drive and willpower, then your intention will fail. And likewise. And when these aspects are fulfilled, when you have knowledge and you have intention and you have willpower, then your goal will be achieved by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and by His help. And so this shows us the importance of having drive and willpower. So for example, the Sheikh shared with us the example of Salah, of the five daily prayers that every Muslim has to do. Every Muslim knows how important they are and the seriousness of leaving it, and they know that it is obligated upon them and so on. But just knowledge about it isn't enough, because we see so many Muslims know about it, but they don't fulfill their prayers. So it requires to have the knowledge and have the intention and have the drive and the want to actually do it. So having that will is something very, very important in every aspect of your life. Not just knowing about things, but having the drive and the willpower to do it is very, very important. Another point that we learn from the story of Ka'b, as Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he says, that sometimes a person can have an opportunity present before him. An opportunity to do a deed that will bring him closer to Allah, or to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so he should have, the utmost effort and willpower and drive to secure that opportunity and to take it by its reins and to hasten to do it quickly. And it is out of incapacity to delay it. And it is out of procrastination that a person will miss out. Especially if a person does not have trust in his own ability, in his ability to achieve the opportunity. So having willpower and intent and that drive it quickly fades away. And it's very rare that willpower remains with a person for very long. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that's why if ever you have sort of an opportunity to do something good and you have the intention and the willpower to do it, then do it. Because if you just sit on it and you wait and you delay, then a lot of the time that motivation will fade away. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may punish a person when an opportunity of good is open for him and he doesn't take advantage and doesn't seize that opportunity. Because, and one of the ways that Allah may punish a person when he doesn't seize the opportunity is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put a barrier between his heart and his desire. And so, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not allow him to achieve what he desires as a punishment for him. So the one who doesn't respond to Allah and His Messenger when He calls him, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put a barrier between him and his desire or his want or his drive. And so He will not allow him to respond after that. Allah ta'ala, He says, O you who believe, answer Allah and His Messenger when they call you to that which gives you life. And know that it is Allah who comes between a person and his heart. And so this shows us, as Allah Ta'ala mentioned in this verse, and the context of this verse was about a group of disbelievers who were called to obey Allah and His Messenger, to believe in Allah, worship Allah, and obey the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in something that would give them life. And when they didn't, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused them to turn away from the things that even they desired to do and things that they wanted to do. And so they had no motivation and drive to do things even if they were in their interests. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentioned a similar thing in another verse. So the first verse for your reference is in Surah Al-Anfal, verse number 24. Also in Surah Al-An'am, verse 110, Allah ta'ala, he says, "And we turn their hearts and their sight, because they did not believe in it in the first instance." So if a person doesn't believe in the first instance, doesn't take the opportunity to believe, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will turn his heart and his sight away from other things that he may want or may desire. And Allah ta'ala also says in Surah As-Saff, verse number 5, "And when they turned away, Allah turned their hearts away." And Allah ta'ala also says in Surah At-Tawbah, verse 115, "It is not for Allah to misguide a people after he guides them, until he makes clear to them what they should be wary of." And there are many examples of that in the Quran. So what is important is to know that when you pass off opportunities to do good, perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish you by making you lose desire to do other things that will be of your interest. And so you have no drive and no motivation to do other things. And so that's why it's very important to follow up, when you have a motivation or drive to do something that will bring you benefit and goodness, then you should do that. And this is especially to the youth. This is a special message to the youth, especially in your youth. Sometimes you have opportunities that you might not have in any other time, and so don't delay and don't procrastinate, but rather seize the opportunities that are before you in that which will benefit you in your worldly life, in your religious life, because you might later on be deprived of having that motivation or be deprived of having those opportunities. Lastly, is a point about the destiny of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one knows what Allah has destined for any person. No one knows what Allah has destined for the person. So it's not allowed for a person to leave deeds basing it and using it as an excuse that Allah hasn't ordained it for you. How can you make a judgment and a statement on something that you have no knowledge on? You can only make judgments on things that you have knowledge on. Something you don't have knowledge on, then you can't use that as a proof and an excuse. Only after the opportunity has passed and you don't have an opportunity to go and do that matter, then you'll know, and then you are allowed to say that this wasn't ordained for you. As Ka'ab radiallahu anhu, he said, so it is not allowed for a person to use Allah's destiny and Allah's fate that Allah has destined upon a person to justify falling into sins or missing out opportunities of good deeds. As some people, unfortunately, for example, if they don't pray, they say, Allah hasn't ordained for me to pray. This is a false justification. And this is actually a justification of the weak people and the wretched people. As Allah Ta'ala mentioned their story in the Quran, when the mushrikeen, they said to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, "If Allah willed, then we would not have made partners in worship with Allah, nor us, nor our forefathers." So they tried to justify why they're worshipping others besides Allah, trying to say that this is what Allah has destined and willed for us. This is not something that you can justify your evil actions. Or for example, some people may say, you know, leave off a good action. And, you know, for example, with the prayer, they say, you know, "I don't pray, I don't do this good action because Allah hasn't willed it." You can't do that. So it's very important for a Muslim. Yes, we believe that everything has been destined by Allah, but we can't use that as a proof of not doing the action. But rather, we are required to act and to do what we can. And then for example, that action finishes or that opportunity finishes and we don't have a chance to do it anymore, then we know that this isn't something that Allah has ordained for us. For example, if a person... So if a person, for example, he wanted to buy a house was on sale and he went to buy it, and then he tried and attempted to buy it, but for some reason
he didn't have the ability. It was out of his budget, or someone bought it before, had the chance to go and buy it, or a car, for example. He sees it advertised, and he calls the owner, and he says, you know, someone's already purchased it. Then you can say this hasn't been ordained. Allah hasn't ordained it for me. So only after the fact can a person know that this was ordained, because now it becomes something known. So you can only base judgments on what you know. You can't base judgments on something you don't know. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us to do the actions that are pleasing to Him, and save us from the actions that are displeasing to Him. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.
This program was presented by Al-Bayan Radio, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.